إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وحده في ذاته ووحده في صفاته، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله، وكفى بالله شهيدا. فصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة في الدين بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله. عباد الله، اتقوا الله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد.
Back at them. If they spew hatred remarks and racial slurs, say peace to them and do what you have to do. We still have to be diligent and we still have to combat this type of racism, or all types of racism for that matter. Pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides those people who mock Allah, who mock the deen, and who mock the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other thing that we need to do is, whenever incidents of Islamophobia happen, you need to report it immediately. And you can do that either by, particularly if you think that your life is threatened, do not be afraid to call 911. Immediately, you call 911 and you explain to them the situation and they will be there. You can call the FBI. You can call CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations here in Michigan. You can call the Imam and then things can happen, inshallah ta'ala. Any incidents of that nature, we are sorry that they happen and they will continue to happen, it appears. However, this is an opportunity for us to make da'wah, share pamphlets on Islam, and give a Quran, translation of the Quran, to people you know. Take this as an opportunity to present your faith to others, particularly non-Muslims. Another thing we can do is to build alliances with other organizations, particularly interfaith. If there are 70 million right-wing extremists who promote Islamophobia and hatred and so on and so forth, do know that there are more than 70 million non-Muslims who like you, who love you, and would love to work with you. So we need to build those alliances. We have to come out of our comfort zone. What do I mean by that? We have to go out and become truly the ambassadors of our faith by volunteering, by doing things to our community, so that the people see who we are. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and forgive us and make it easy on all of us. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'il muslimina wal muslimat fastaghfiruh. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin was salatu was salam ala sayyidil mursalin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in thumma amma ba'd. So just brief suggestions here that may help the issue of Islamophobia. Again, volunteering is not enough. We are part and parcel of our communities. Some, maybe not all of us, would like to go and attend city council meetings and other meetings, but some of us should, because whatever issues they discuss in this city affect us, and we need to be involved. So it's no harm to know when they have their, you know, city council meetings and go or get the agenda and see which items that are relevant to you and your community and be part of the community. Another one important thing we can do and we must do, that is civic engagement, in the sense that we have to register to vote. You know what they say here? What they say is there is power in numbers. So we need to understand how things work. Get registered to vote. Another thing I would like to share with you is you should never be intimidated by what is going on outside. The whole idea is to intimidate you, to make you skeptical of your faith, and to leave your faith and become the American in this melting pot or whatever that follows their norms and the culture, which some of it is good, but some of it is bad. No, you have your own values, the Islamic values, and you need to maintain those. So do not be intimidated by Islamophobia. Be who you are. Be proud of who you are, even where you came from. There's nothing wrong with that. And last but not least, you know, be faithful Muslim and a faithful citizen as well of the United States of America. We have to be faithful. Unfortunately, there are so many things that are not helping us happening, whether it is in Chicago or here in Detroit. I can go on and on for that, but we need to live our faith and be faithful citizens so we may progress, inshallah ta'ala. Make dua for the people. The people don't know when the Prophet was pelted with stones and driven out of At-Ta'if, all he could do is complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua. Allahumma hdi qawmi, innahum qawmun la ya'lamun, innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, guide my people, they don't know. So may Allah guide the people and guide us. Allahumma ameen. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabiyya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم ألف بين قلوبهم واجمع ذات بينهم. اللهم ثبت أقدامهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم وارحمنا برحمتك الواسعة يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وأقم الصلاة ارحموني وارحمكم الله. Those words that appear in the Bill of Rights, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, ring true. When will these words truly ring true? And among these truths is that we are endowed by our Creator. So they recognize the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created us all, blacks and whites, men and women, people of every nation on earth. So among these truths is that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Certain unalienable rights. And among such rights, it mentions life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What life? Can they bring Michael Brown back? How about Eric Garner, who was choked to death in New York while crying out, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe"? Can they bring Leah, Yusur, and Roseanne back? Precious souls gone in vain. What liberty are they talking about? Freedom is not free. Freedom comes with responsibility. Be it freedom of speech or freedom of the press. Unfortunately, the press, the main media outlets, have abused their powers and their rights. They are responsible for enticing people to hate their fellow citizens, being blacks, Muslims, or other minorities. And what pursuit of happiness? 1 out of 5 children go to bed hungry every day here in the good old America. So you see what is happening. Our government and institutions need to reassess the values it claims or they claim to uphold. Malcolm X was right. America can learn from Islam. If you look at Article 1 of the United Nations Charter, the very first article strictly talks about equality of human beings. It says, all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. They are endowed with reason and conscience and should act towards one another in a spirit of a brotherhood. It is as if they took the words out of the Quran and they put it there in their own language. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى. O people, we created you free. You're all free. We created you from a single male and a single female. Your forefathers, Adam and Hawa. In other words, you're all free and equal. And we made you into nations and tribes. Now what for? لتعارفوا. To form this brotherhood. Fraternity. Equality and fraternity. This is what Islam taught 1200 years before the French Revolution, raising their slogans of liberty and, you know, equality and so on and so forth. America can learn from Islam, and they have. And this is why Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is honored among one of the topmost lawgivers ever in the Supreme Court, in case you didn't know that. But we need to put that into practice. That's what Islam did. Islam not only recognizes, but declared that all people belong to one race, the human race. We belong to one family, the family of Adam. We are Banu Adam. We are the children of Adam. By birth, we are all equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And astonishingly, in this al-ayah al-mubarakah, notice Allah did not address the believers as He usually does when He wants to address the believers by saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. No, here, because the Qur'an is the final book and scripture of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all mankind. It is the book of guidance to whoever want to be guided. And the address here is to all humanity. Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, O humanity, all mankind, Muslims and non-Muslims, are equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, black, white, any color, Arab, non-Arab, or any race, African, Jamaican, Asian, Arab, European, Chinese, American, etc., all, everyone. Indeed, men and women are equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The notion of equality and fraternity, brotherhood, is embedded
In the ayah, Ya ayyuhal nasu, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu, inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum.
Superiority and inferiority of a race or of a people or of individuals is before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on the basis of taqwa. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum.
And this is why you find in his khutbatul wada' the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasizing on this very important point of equality and brotherhood when he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, addressing the largest congregation, over 100,000 Muslims present before him during Hajjatul Wada', O people, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna rabbakum wahid, surely your Lord is one, wa inna abakum wahid, and your father is one. You belong to Adam. Ala la fadla li arabiyyin ala a'jami. Wala li a'jamiyyin ala arabi. Wala li ahmara ala aswada. Wala aswada ala ahmara illa bit taqwa.
There can be no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab. Nor can there be any superiority of a non-Arab over an Arab. There can be no superiority of a white over a black or a black over a white except with taqwa, except in piety and good actions. That's the criteria before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam honored the blacks and the whites, Bilal al-Habashi and also Suhaib al-Rumi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored the Arabs and the non-Arabs, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and also Salman al-Farisi, who was a non-Arab. They were all equal. Islam created necessary communal ties never known before to man of the pre-Islamic era. Islam stressed on the concept of brotherhood for the sake of Allah. And yes, that is the key, my dear brothers and sisters, for the sake of Allah. That's how we come together. That's why we recognize all the people of the world as one family to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recall the tribes of the Aus and Khazraj in Al-Madina. Feuds, tribal wars for decades, if not centuries. What brought their hearts together other than Islam? وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَى حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِّنْهَا. You were on the brink of the pit of the hellfire and Allah saved you from it. That's the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the asabiyya, the racism, the discrimination that existed then was obliterated totally, all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All because we all believe in the one God. La ilaha illallah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam closed the gap between these two tribes and they became brothers to one another. Even a companion of the caliber of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Dharr, by the way, is a man of such piety. The Prophet himself said regarding Abu Dharr, if anyone would be pleased to know the piety of Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, let him look at my friend Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu wa ardah. So even a companion of the caliber of Abu Dharr, the Prophet stripped his piety away when he uttered racial remarks against Bilal radiallahu anhu. What did he say to Bilal? Yabna al-Sawda, Yabna al-Sawda, Abu Dharr called Bilal, O the son of the black woman. Now naturally you can imagine how Bilal felt. But when the Prophet learned that Abu Dharr reproached Bilal's mother, the Prophet commented, he said, "By the one who revealed the book to Muhammad, none is more virtuous over another except by righteous deeds. You have none but an insignificant amount, O Abu Dharr." So you can imagine how bad it is in Islam to mistreat, to discriminate against your brother or sister from any race, from any faith, from any gender. The memory of Bilal, as a matter of fact, a black Muslim from Ethiopia, is still alive with us today every time when we say the adhan. He was the Prophet's muadhin. Islam didn't just introduce a theory that was preached, it was practiced, it was established. The very same evil that was rooted out by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the same evil the African American brothers and sisters are facing, namely racism, we Muslims are facing today. And it is called Islamophobia. And what is Islamophobia? Islamophobia is a term that combines two words together, Islam and phobia. We know what Islam is. What is phobia? Phobia means fear, horror. As a term, it means prejudice against, hatred towards, or fear of Muslims or groups perceived to be Muslim. It's intolerance, bigotry, and unfairness. Islamophobia connotes a social anxiety about Islam and Muslims. It is a social stigma towards Islam and Muslims, namely fear. Some scholars define Islamophobia as anti-Muslim racism and a continuation of the anti-Asian and anti-Arab racism. It is the same racism that existed against Roman Catholic and the Jews, anti-Semitism back in the 30s. Islamophobia is not only targeting Muslims, but the faith they claim, Islam. It is common to hear statements such as Islamic terrorism, meaning Islam is terrorism. These subliminal messages are creating rage and anger in the hearts of ignorant people that in some cases lead to murder and loss of lives, as we have just witnessed not too long ago, the killing of the three young students from University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, Diya, Yusur, and Razan. So it is evil indeed. Islamophobia is simply a violation of human rights. Anti-Muslim hostility is seen as natural and normal nowadays. Among the things hate mongers teach is that Islam is inferior to the West. Islam is barbaric, irrational, primitive, and sexist. Islam is violent, aggressive, and threatening. Muslims are portrayed as the other. We are not considered part and parcel of the society in spite of all the contributions Muslims made to this country, from building the farms, the industries, the manufacturing of automobiles, to serving in the medical fields, engineering, and every field one can imagine. Islamophobia is a widespread European and American phenomenon. Racism, anti-Semitism, and Islamophobia, they are all fruits of the same tree called hate. Wolfram Richter, professor of economics at Dortmund University of Technology said, "I'm afraid we have not learned from our history. My main fear is that what we did to Jews, we may now do to Muslims. The next Holocaust would be against Muslims." In their report of 2012, CARE had informed us that on a scale of 0 to 10, Islamophobia is at 5.9, and that was in 2012, and I guarantee you it is higher today from a couple of years ago, with one representing an America free of Islamophobia and 10 being the worst possible situation for Muslims. That's pretty high. Another finding, we find that US-based Islamophobia network's inner core currently comprised of at least 37 groups whose primary purpose is to promote prejudice against or hatred against Muslims and hatred toward Islam. 37 organizations, networks working on that. The third finding I share with you. The inner core of the US-based Islamophobia network enjoyed access to at least $119 million, $119,662,719 in total revenue between 2008 and 2011. So you see, it's a business. They're making hand over fist on this industry of Islamophobia. In 2011 and 2012, and it has increased, I'm sure, by now, 78 bills or amendments designed to vilify Islamic religious practices were introduced in the legislatures of 29 states and the U.S. Congress. 62 of these bills contained language that was extracted from David Yerushalmi's American Laws for American Courts, ALAC model legislation. He's the one who's behind the anti-Sharia law in simple terms, in which so many states have adopted the resolution that he had introduced. Although it is unconstitutional, yet they adopted it. And you know, just so you have a better understanding as to what the climate is among people like Pat Robertson, a wealthy televangelist who is known for making comments such as, "Islam is satanic," and also, "Islam is not a religion," and that Muslims are worse than Nazis. These statements are coming from supposedly a religious clergy, Pat Robertson. And there are so many that we can share about what they say. Islamophobia actually prompted government leaders in Europe to ban hijab in public. They can't wear the scarves in public. They banned the construction of minarets in the mosques, particularly in the Netherlands. Various translations of the Quran have been banned by the Russian government because supposedly promoting extremism and Muslim supremacy. In Australia, they allowed only one translation of the Quran. They will not allow any other translation to be sold on the market. Now, what are we doing? Muslims are working very hard to combat Islamophobia. For instance, we understand that Islamophobia takes a devastating toll on Muslims, be it at the workplace, in schools, hospitals, or even in grocery stores. We need to work together to combat this disease of racism, not only nationally, but more so locally in our communities. First of all, we need to understand that we are being tried simply by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This trial of Muslims, test of faith, is for everyone. here in the United States, or in the Middle East, or anywhere in the world. Allah made it very clear. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. We shall surely test you with some fear. This is what phobia, this is what Islamophobia is about. With some fear and hunger and shortage of wealth and ailments and death and loss of crops and businesses and so on and so forth. But give glad tidings to those who are patient. So we have to be patient in the face of all these calamities, in the face of all these events and instances that we are facing. We must also remember that the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he faced Islamophobia during his time. He had to go through similar situations. And we need to learn how he handled those situations. And we all know that he was subject to hate crimes and his own personal life was threatened. All sorts of boycotts, social and economic boycotts, were imposed on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers. But how did he respond? He responded in a very positive way, with patience. Usbiru ala Yasir. Just be patient, O family of Yasir. One thing we learn from him and the companions, he never gave up his identity. He never gave up his mission. He tolerated their evil actions and was very patient. And remember the golden rule. And what is the golden rule? وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. Good and evil can never be equal. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Repel evil with good, lest those whom you have enmity with, or lest those who are enemies to you will become your good and intimate friends. This is the golden rule of Islam. This is what Islam teaches. If they throw at you stones, throw back at them. If they spew hatred remarks and racial slurs, say peace to them. And do what you have to do. We still have to be diligent and we still have to combat this type of racism or all types of racism for that matter. Pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides those people who mock Allah, who mock the deen, and who mock the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other thing that we need to do is whenever incidents of Islamophobia happen, you need to report it immediately. And you can do that either by, particularly if you think that your life is threatened, do not be afraid to call 911. Immediately, you call 911 and you explain to them the situation and they will be there. You can call the FBI. You can call CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, here in Michigan. You can call the imam and then things can happen, inshallah ta'ala. Any incidents of that nature, we are sorry that they happen and they will continue to happen, it appears. However, this is an opportunity for us to make da'wah, share pamphlets on Islam and give a Quran, translation of the Quran to people you know. Take this as an opportunity to present your faith to others, particularly non-Muslims. Another thing we can do is to build alliances with other organizations, particularly interfaith. If there are 70 million right-wing extremists who promote Islamophobia and hatred and so on and so forth, do know that there are more than 70 million non-Muslims who like you, who love you, and would love to work with you. So we need to build those alliances. We have to come out of our comfort zone. What do I mean by that? We have to go out and become truly the ambassadors of our faith by volunteering, by doing things to our community, so that the people see who we are. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and forgive us and make it easy on all of us. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'il muslimina wal muslimat fastaghfiruh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyid al-mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Thumma amma ba'd. So just brief suggestions here that may help the issue of Islamophobia. Again, volunteering is not enough. We are part and parcel of our communities. Some, maybe not all of us, would like to go and attend city council meetings and other meetings, but some of us should, because whatever issues they discuss in the city affect us, and we need to be involved. So it's no harm to know when they have their, you know, city council meetings and go or get the agenda and see which items that are relevant to you and your community and be part of the community. Another one important thing we can do and we must do, that is civic engagement, in the sense that we have to register to vote. You know what they say here? What they say is there is power in numbers. So we need to understand how things work. Get registered to vote. Another thing I would like to share with you is you should never be intimidated by what is going on outside. The whole idea is to intimidate you, to make you skeptical of your faith and to leave your faith and become the American in this melting pot or whatever that follows their norms and the culture, which some of it is good, but some of it is bad. No, you have your own values, the Islamic values, and you need to maintain those. So do not be intimidated by Islamophobia. Be who you are. Be proud of who you are, even where you came from. There's nothing wrong with that. And last but not least, you know, be faithful Muslim and a faithful citizen as well of the United States of America. We have to be faithful. Unfortunately, there are so many things that are not helping us happening, whether it is in Chicago or here in Detroit. I can go on and on for that, but we need to live our faith and be faithful citizens so we may progress, inshallah ta'ala. Make dua for the people. The people don't know when the Prophet was pelted with stones and driven out of At-Ta'if, all he could do is complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua. Allahumma hdi qawmi. إنهم قوم لا يعلمون إنهم لا يعلمون. Oh Allah, guide my people. They don't know. So may Allah guide the people and guide us. اللهم آمين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم ألف بين قلوبهم واجمع ذات بينهم. اللهم ثبت أقدامهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. وارحمنا برحمتك الواسعة يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وأقم الصلاة يرحمني وأرحمكم الله.